The sailboat, the Explorer of Sweden, concluded its 9,000-mile nautical journey from Norway to Unalaska yesterday through the Northeast Passage. Jeff York joined the expedition to observe how the changing sea ice is affecting human settlements and animal populations. KUCB's Ann Hillman spoke with him on board the 57-foot yacht.
World Wildlife Fund Polar Bear Conservation Coordinator Jeff York joined explorer Ola Skinnarmo in midsummer on Skinnarmo's journey to reenact the first full crossing of the Northeast Passage by a Swedish ship 130 years ago. The original voyage took 2 years because of the amount of ice they encountered. This journey took one summer.
We encountered very little sea ice at all, and it was quite easy, in a sense, for a boat this size, without an ice pilot, without an icebreaker, to do the passage. And that, to us, is a big part of the message. We're doing it because we can, and we can because of climate change-induced sea ice loss.
The sailboat only encountered two large patches of ice that required tricky navigation. The ice levels were even low enough that, for the first time ever, two large commercial shipping vessels traversed the passage from South Korea to Siberia. York said, the sea ice retreat has impacted the Russian communities and the local wildlife.
Once the sea ice recedes past the continental shelf, walrus come to shore because they rely on the ice to distribute them over that continental shelf, the shallow areas where they're feeding at the bottom. Once it goes out over deep water, they can't feed anymore, so they're coming to shore in huge numbers and in areas that they have not historically been.
At one point, they saw 20,000 walrus hauled out on one beach. York said he had never seen so much life in one place.
The flip side of that is these are animals that are used to being on the ice, used to being on a moving substrate that's carrying them along and not being stuck in one place. 20,000 animals trying to find food in a fairly limited area. They can't go far out to sea from shore. They have a limited range, especially the females and calves. So it won't take long for them to overgraze the area that they're at. And then I think you'll start to see their numbers decline.
Along the journey, the 8-person crew stopped in Russian villages and spoke with community members. Some of the towns were old Soviet settlements with cement block buildings and the remains of old prison work camps where over 1 million people died in the mid-20th century.
Now when you go to these areas, as you approach from the sea, they look derelict. The paint's peeled off the buildings. In the case of, say, Tixie, half the buildings are in disuse and boarded up. Very sad looking places. They've lost most of their population because it was completely government supported under the old Soviet government.
York said other villages reminded him of subsistence communities in Alaska.
There was a great quote one of the Chukchi hunters that met with us said is all he needed was a piece of tundra in the sea to survive. And you could see that was the case. They lived off of walrus. They lived off of the fish they were catching in nets. And they, at least in that part of the world, they're very much ocean looking. They trade with reindeer herding Chukchi to the south, but they really don't have much use for land. They just, other than to have their house on.
York said interacting with the welcoming communities who were happy to have visitors from beyond Russia changed his views of the area.
Growing up at the end of the Cold War, you have this idea in your mind about certain places, and Russia is definitely one of them. And I think for me, stereotypes were shattered on this trip. And it was great just to encounter people as people.
And despite the high levels of sea ice withdrawal, York said he finished the trip with a sense of hope.
For me to take a trip like this, to go through some of these areas that are still completely wild, that still have, at least in some places, abundant wildlife, was very reaffirming to me that of nature's resiliency, of the possibility that we can still save the best parts of the Arctic, that we can still conserve some of the best things that are there.
In Unalaska, I'm Ann Hillman.